Moncrief on News Talk.
In an interview with Louis Theroux, the singer Ed Sheeran said he identifies as culturally Irish. Now, that's easy to understand, although born and bred in England, his dad's from Belfast, and growing up holidays were in Ireland every year. But is there a difference between culturally Irish and Irish-Irish, especially for culturally Irish people who live here? Law lecturer Larry Donnelly grew up among the Boston Irish, but now lives here in Galway. Afternoon, Larry.
Good to be with you, Sean.
Growing up in Boston, did you know anyone who wasn't Irish American?
I knew some. I mean, there were certainly Italian Americans. I can't say I knew virtually no one who was not a Catholic. I don't think I had a non-Catholic contemporary until I was in law school, to be frank with you. So that's the sort of community I grew up in. But in my neighborhood and among my close friend group, the majority of my friends' parents were Irish born. That's the way it was in those days. It has changed significantly since then. But certainly I would have grown up in an Irish cocoon. And although my lineage, I suppose, was a little bit more distant, in some ways, the Irishness was even more present in my house because my family was so involved in politics. And back then, politics in Boston was a very ethnic business. So being Irish was a central part of that political identity as much as anything else. So certainly, if you were to look back, and you know, at the time, it didn't seem like anything big. It's just the way it was. But when I consider back the way Boston was in the 1980s and early 1990s, you know, you could be forgiven for thinking that every Irish person wanted to actually live in Boston. That's how prevalent Irishness was.
Yes. I haven't said that, though, in terms of identifying as Irish. Did your family, did your community identify as Irish in America? By which I mean, you know, were you keeping abreast of developments in Ireland?
To varying extents, you know, and again, I say this somebody from a political family, so my family certainly would have been very involved in politics and current affairs here in Ireland. Others, it would have been a more distant thing. But certainly in terms of, you know, there was a unique almost Boston Irish culture, which emerged from there. And being Irish in Boston sort of meant something different to being Irish here. What I always say to people is that, of course, you know, Ireland has changed in recent years. But back then, you know, the United States is, and still is, even to a greater extent, a melting pot. And wanting to identify with a certain tribe was always part of that mix. So I think most people would have identified, you know, whether second, third generation, whatever, they would have identified as Irish American, I think, for most of them. And I think that they would have spoken about people like my friend's parents. The common parlance in places like South Boston or whatever would have been, oh, she's off the boat Irish. So there would have been a little bit different for them.
Oh, right. Okay, that's interesting then, because I suppose off the boat Irish is, you don't really know the way things work here. To a degree.
Well, it would have been that, you know, you speak with an Irish accent and you were actually born in Ireland and then came over to Boston. You weren't somebody who was born into, whether it's for, you know, you're not first, second, third generation, whatever. There would have been a distinction drawn between that. And again, Sean, one of the things about America, as you'll know and most listeners will know, is the country is so big and diverse. The experience of Irishness I had in Boston in those days would be very, very different to, for instance, the experience that former President Joe Biden cites as having had in Scranton, because the ties of immigration would have been far more distant in Scranton, Pennsylvania, than in Boston, Massachusetts. And what I'd also say is, given demographic trends, given the slow to a trickle of immigration, I suspect that in future in Boston, the sense of Irishness will be far more akin to Joe Biden's sense of Irishness in Scranton, Pennsylvania, than the Irishness I experienced growing up.
Yeah. And that Irish accent, and you would have heard some of them, but I assume predominantly you heard accents such as like your own. How did people regard that Irish accent? Was that something, oh, look, there's a real Irish person, or how would they, you know, how would they regard it?
Well, it's fascinating. And it actually started to turn when I was young. Now, the Irish accent in Boston, perhaps because it is getting a little bit more rare, now it's seen as the cool thing. But I can even remember that for some of my friends who had Irish parents, they almost kind of wanted, Dad, shut up. Don't be talking, you know, that kind of thing. because they wanted to be American, and that's how they wanted to be. So the Irishness thing, as Ireland being cool, it's definitely cool to be Irish now. But I would argue with you that that's a relatively recent phenomenon, and certainly for the likes of my father, he would have said that that it was even more pronounced back then, that everyone wanted to really be American, and you'd see kids like hiding away their parents before they started talking and that sort of thing.
And did you ever feel, or were you ever aware of kind of a tension in that, a sense of contradiction in that, and that, you know, you're one half American, you're one half Irish?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I always say, and, you know, the Irish born people over there, including, you know, again, many of my friends' parents, they'd always be saying, you're not Irish. You know, if they heard people, Americans identify as Irish, they'd say, you're not Irish. You're Irish American. You're American first. Mm. And I think that most of us would have had a cognizance of that. Now, among fellow Americans, would we identify as Irish? Yeah, we probably would, because that's, again, you're talking to fellow Americans who have all sorts of different ethnic backgrounds. So in that sort of context, yeah, you probably would identify as Irish. And certainly, you know, in terms of the cultural Irish thing, like Ed Sheeran, again, even though my lineage was slightly more different, I still, whereas many Americans would have had their parents listening to, Frank Sinatra, things like that. I grew up listening to the Irish Hit Parade every Saturday and Sunday and the Wolf Tones and things like that. That was the music I grew up listening to my parents here, you know?
Yeah. And would you have been aware and you're probably aware of it, maybe even more aware of it now, that occasionally you'll meet an American who's 1/8 Irish and they'll say, oh, well, I like drinking, I'm Irish, or I like fighting, I'm Irish, or they lean into the cliches, which are kind of American generated cliches, really, about what the Irish are like. Would you, growing up in Boston, were you aware of, outside your community that while, you were often regarded that way?
Yeah, I would have really come across it when I went to college first and met people who weren't from Boston, who didn't, for instance, couldn't identify. They'd say, I'm Irish. And you'd say to them, oh, where are your people from? And that sort of thing. They'd have no idea because it was so far back. That was when I really kind of dawned on me, because, again, the area I grew up in, again, it's just a tiny microcosm. It's not reflective of all of Irish America. But the microcosm I grew up in was quite different to that. But certainly, yeah, we would have had a cognizance of that. And again, there were so many Irish people around, especially as we got older, in the 90s and stuff, when we started making friends with people who were over there. And they would kind of educate us much more on how Irish people who actually were Irish sometimes saw Irish Americans and thought that some of the carry-on was absolutely ridiculous, which, of course, it is. And it's really embarrassing, to be honest with you.
And so then when you move to Ireland and you've lived here a good long time now, and no doubt you'd visited before, but I suppose living here is different. Did you start to notice differences then?
Oh, of course I did. Yeah, I mean, very, very many differences, on a day-to-day level and all that sort of thing. As you say, I had visited a number of times, so, I was a little bit more acclimatized to the way things were here. I had been grew up and around Irish people my whole life, so I did have a better sense. I wasn't like a fish out of water when I came here. I was also lucky in the sense that I had Irish cousins here who I'd known for many, many years and who treated me very well. It kind of gave me orientations on various things, including the GAA, which is now one of the loves of my life. So that made my transition a lot easier than I'd say for many Americans who moved here. And I'm not saying sight unseen, but who wouldn't have had the same either ethnic family background or grew up in the same place that I did.
Yeah. So but now you probably have to contend with, what part of America are you from?
Yeah, I do. It's funny. I mean, I divide my time between Galway and Wicklow, and it just shows you, again, this is another little vignette of life in Ireland and going back and forth across the Atlantic. When I'm in Galway, because of the very close ties between Galway and Boston, people don't say to me, where are you from? They say, where in Boston are you from?
Yes.
Whereas in Wicklow or in Dublin, I'm much more likely to get the question, what part of America are you from? Whereas, in Galway, the minute I open my mouth, they know immediately where I'm from.
That's interesting, because you have a very identifiable Boston accent. It's a lovely accent, it must be said. So I'm kind of surprised that people in general can't identify that.
Yeah, you know, it is surprising, but I do get the question very regularly on the East Coast, whereas I wouldn't get it. And again, that's just a fact of immigration. If you look at immigration patterns from the west of Ireland, they'd be very strongly to the northeastern United States, whereas immigration patterns from the East Coast of Ireland would have been, of course, many went to America, but a lot more percentage-wise would have gone to England.
Yeah. And because of your accent, do you occasionally get, I don't know if it would be abuse, but at least, you know, eyebrows raised when people meet you for the first time and ask you about what's happening in the United States?
There is some of that. Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. But perceptions of accents are fascinating, Sean. You know, when I go home to the U.S., you know, a lot of my friends wouldn't speak with strong Boston accents anymore. They would have softened their accents because of perceptions around the Boston accent and them kind of being laughed at or perceived in a certain way in the United States because of things that have happened in Boston in the past. So I still talk like I did. We all did when we were 12, 13 years old, whereas their speech patterns have changed dramatically. Whereas here in Ireland, my accent, I suppose, is regarded by many as being kind of cool, or I get the Kennedy thing or whatever that mm-hmm. might be. So, you know, it's seen very differently here. And the one thing that will make people laugh is when I go home, a lot of people would do a double take, including Irish people who've lived in the U.S. for a long time, because my speech pattern, even though I have a strong Boston accent, my speech pattern has changed undeniably. And the things I would say and the expressions I would use and the interests I would have are dictated by the fact that I've spent most of my adult life here. So sometimes I get a double take and say, are you from Ireland or do you just live there? And so it's very funny.
Yeah, that is very funny. I remember a long time ago reading your memoir and it wasn't just a thing that was particular to Irish people, but every community from that originated in other parts of the world, you know, politics would be, tribal's probably too strong a word, but they'd be looking after their own community, and there would be the Irish American vote and the Hispanic vote, et cetera, et cetera. Is that still there as strongly in the US, or have things divided up in a different way, do you think?
It's still there, but it's not as strong, and it's not as strongly predictable along party lines. And it's interesting you mentioned the Irish and the Latino communities there. And again, just as Irish America has become very heterogeneous, once upon a time, we were all Democrats. Now you're just as likely to be a Republican as an Irish American as you are a Democrat. And that's what some people say, will we ever have an Irish American president again? And I often say, yes, you very well could. But that Irish American president could be aligned with Donald Trump and the Republicans just as easily as he or she could be aligned with the Democrats. And you're seeing something similar happen with Hispanic communities who traditionally would have been aligned with the Democratic Party. They're becoming more and more heterogeneous. So it's an experience, I think, of becoming American. And when you become more fully American, then I suppose you take on a broader identity. And of course, that will be a good thing for some. It will be regarded as a bad thing by others. But it's fascinating to watch.
Laurie, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was Laurie Donnelly, their law lecturer at the University of Galway. One texter says, both my parents are Irish and moved abroad for work opportunities. They met in London, got married in London and brought us up in England. We sound English, but we're definitely Irish. We spent all our summer holidays in Ireland with our granny and cousins. I moved here in my 20s and settled here. My mother moved away from, and this is very familiar, like how, and if you look at the figures, I think the biggest immigrant population technically are British people, but an awful lot of those British people would be people who have the same story as you. My mother moved away from Cork in the 70s, never lost the accent. I wish I had an Irish accent, as if you grow up outside Ireland, you feel Irish until you meet an Irish person and they question your accent. There are GAA teams across so many cities internationally. I would say Australia in 10 years' time will be full of young children who have always lived in Australia but have two Irish parents. My children have emigrated to Melbourne, and I will come to terms with the idea that my grandchildren will have Australian accents. I went to grad school in Philadelphia, says this texter, for a few years in the 1990s. I was always fascinated by the fact that Americans always seem to put their ancestral heritage first, i.e. Irish-American, Italian-American, Polish-American, etc. Why aren't they American first? Yeah, well, that's interesting. But as Larry was saying, that perhaps over time, that is gradually shifting. Anyone who questions the idea of being culturally Irish, says this person, just needs to think of all the little kids wearing Mayo and Kerry GAA jerseys, excuse me. I lived in Dubai. There's a huge Irish community there. I think, and finally someone says, I think people become even more culturally Irish as they emigrate. You really gravitate towards other people from similar backgrounds. And I remember just how useful joining a GAA team was when I spent a year in Boston after I'd finished college.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.